Welcome to the Loosen Up Your Painting podcast, the podcast for creatives looking to get inspiration, tips, and advice on anything to do with art and creativity. If you enjoy creating something, then this is the podcast for you. I'm your host, Malcolm Dewey, a full-time artist at malcolmdeweyfineart.com, and let's begin the show. In this episode of How to Loosen Up Your Painting podcast, we're going to look at the life of Claude Monet, specifically his early life, the early struggles, his early phase of his career, where he was trying to build up his art life, his family life, and the struggles he went through, how similar they are to the struggles artists face throughout time, and we can even relate to them today. So let's jump in and have a closer look at the early stage of Claude Monet's life. We're going to look at the period from 1840, when he was born, up to the early 1880s, when he made his real breakthrough as an artist. You're going to also see that Monet was, just like any other artist, struggling to make ends meet, family problems, all sorts of challenges, trying to get noticed, keeping the landlord from the door and looking after a young family. In so many ways, we regard Monet as simply being a wealthy and successful artist. But he had to go through all the struggles and persist. I'm also going to look at a few of Monet's correspondence between friends and collectors and his gallery representative. Letters that reveal what he was going through at the time, and it makes his experience even more real to us today. So let's begin at the beginning. Claude Monet was born in 1840 in Paris, but his family moved to the Normandy town of Le Havre when he was 5 years old. From a young age, Monet showed an innate talent and passion for drawing and painting. He even made good pocket money selling caricatures of businessmen and prominent local citizens. As a teenager in the late 1850s, he became friends with a fellow aspiring artist called Eugene Bourdon, who taught him to paint in the open air and study the varying effects of light. Despite his bourgeois family's wishes for him to pursue a more stable career, Monet was determined to become a professional painter. In 1859, at age 19, he moved to Paris to attend the Académie Suisse. However, he found the traditional instruction stifling and soon began studying independently by painting city scenes on plain air along the Seine and streets of Paris. In 1861, Monet's mother died, leaving the family in difficult financial straits. His father could no longer support his pursuit of art, so Monet was forced to live a bohemian lifestyle, struggling to get by while continuing his outdoor painting studies. During this impoverished period in the early 1860s, he met fellow painters like Frederick Bazil, Alfred Sisley, and Pierre-Auguste Renoir, who became close friends and shared his revolutionary interest in capturing the transient effects of natural light. In 1865, two of Monet's paintings were accepted into the prestigious annual Salon in Paris. This was a significant milestone, bringing him some recognition in the art world. To support himself, he began painting portraits and took on other commissions. In 1866, his first son, Jean, was born. And in a letter to Frederick Bazil in 1867, we get an idea of some of Monet's aspirations and intentions, also the difficulties he was having at home. Let's have a look at a few of these letters that he sent out.
To Frederick Bazil, Paris, the 20th of May, 1867. Monet's opening is in 2 days and he's in a frightful state. Courbet opens a week today. That's quite another story. Can you imagine? inviting every artist in Paris to the opening. He's sending 3,000 invitations, and on top of that, every artist also gets a copy of his catalogue. Rest assured, he's doing well. His intention is to hold on to the building where he is already, and have a studio built on the first floor, and next year he'll rent the room out whenever anyone wants to hold an exhibition there. So let's work hard and end up there with some pictures that are beyond criticism. Renoir and I are still working on our views of Paris. I saw Camille yesterday. I don't know what to do, she is sick, bedridden and penniless, and as I count on leaving on the second or third of the latest, I have to remind you of your promise to send me 50 francs at least for the first of the month. Paris, the 29th of June, 1868, to Frederick Bazille. A hasty note to ask you to come speedily to my rescue if you can. I must have been born under an unlucky star. I've just been turned out, without a shirt to my back, from the inn where I was staying. I found somewhere safe in the country for Camille and my poor little son to stay for a few days. As for myself, I arrived here this morning and I leave this evening very shortly for Le Havre, to try and see if my patron can help me. Don't fail to write as soon as you receive this, if you can do something for me, in any case, I expect a word from you. Write to me at Le Havre, and as my family refuses to do anything more for me, I don't even know yet where I'll be sleeping tomorrow. Your loyal and tormented friend, Claude Monet. P.S. I was so upset yesterday that I was stupid enough to hurl myself into the water. Fortunately, no harm was done. Paris, the 2nd of June, 1869, letter to Arsène Houssay. My rejection at the Salon brought an end to my hesitation. After this failure I can no longer claim to cope. That fatal rejection has virtually taken the bread out of my mouth, and despite my extremely modest prices, dealers and art lovers are turning their backs on me. It is above all very depressing to see the lack of interest shown in an art object which has no market value. I thought, and I hope, you will excuse me for this, that since you have already found a painting of mine to your taste, you might perhaps like to see the few canvases I was able to save from the bailiffs. I'm in quite a desperate state, and the worst is that I can no longer even work. It goes without saying that I will do anything at any price to pull myself out of a situation like this, so that I can start working immediately on my next Salon picture, and ensure further that such a thing should not happen again. I hope you all forgive my boldness in writing to you, and that you will be so kind as to give my request due consideration. Your most obedient servant, Claude Monet.
When the Franco-Prussian War broke out in 1870, Monet took refuge in London for several months. We will look at the influence that the London period had on his painting a little later in this podcast. While in London, he studied the works of Turner and Constable, whose atmospheric landscapes greatly influenced his developing style, focused on capturing the shifting luminosity of nature. Upon returning to France, he moved to Argenteau, near Paris, where he created some of his most famous early Impressionist paintings, depicting the waters of the Seine and leisure activities. In 1874, a group of artists, including Monet, Renoir, Sisley, Degas, Pizarro, and others, organized the first Impressionist group exhibition. The show was derided by critics for its unconventional techniques and subject matter, focused on modern life, but it also marked the public emergence of the Impressionist movement. Monet displayed works that epitomized the Impressionist style, such as his painting Impression Sunrise, with its soft, broken brushwork and depiction of the atmospheric play of light. This painting, regarded as unfinished by the critics, was a revolutionary step, breaking away from the tight, layered paintings of the old masters. Nevertheless, Monet's money troubles persisted, as we can see from the following correspondence.
Monday, the 28th of June, 1875, to Edward Monet. It's getting more and more difficult. Not a penny left since the day before yesterday, and no more credit at the butcher's or the baker's. Even though I believe in the future, you can see the present is very hard indeed. So could you send something then, on whatever terms, to a broker? Only be careful as to whom you choose to deal with, in case some harm comes of it. You couldn't possibly send me a 20-franc note by return of post, could you? It would help me out for the time being. Best wishes, Claude Monet. The 25th of July, 1876 to George de Bellio. I'm writing to you with a heavy heart to ask you, if you have the time, to come and choose the two sketches that you were kind enough to buy and pay for in advance. I can find no way out of it. The creditors are proving impossible to deal with, and short of a sudden appearance on the scene of wealthy art patrons, we are going to be turned out of this dear little house, where I led a simple life and was able to work so well. I do not know what will become of us, and yet I had so much fire in me and so many plans. Your friend, Claude Monet.
Over the next few years, Monet and the core Impressionist group continued mounting group shows and gaining some followers, though they still struggled for acceptance from the established French art institutions. Monet had another son, Michel, in 1878 with his longtime partner, Camille, but money troubles and lack of sales persisted. He was often forced to live with others or rely on the patronage from wealthy supporters like the Hochschild family, a relationship that caused further troubles in his own family situation.
The 17th of August, 1879 to George de Bellio. For a long time I've been hoping for better days ahead, but alas, I believe the time has come for me to abandon all hope. My poor wife is in increasing pain, and I cannot imagine that she could be any weaker than she is now. Not only does she not have the strength to stand up or walk one step, but she cannot hold down the slightest bit of nourishment. One has to be at her bedside continually attending to her smallest wish, in the hope of relieving her suffering, and the saddest thing is, that we cannot always satisfy these immediate needs for lack of money. I would ask another favor of you, which is to help us out from your own pocket. We have no resources whatsoever. I have a few canvases, take them for whatever price you like, but please respond to my call for help, and send us what you can. 200 or 300 francs now would save us from hardship and anxiety. With another 100 francs more I could procure the canvas and paints I need to work. Do what you can. I told our landlady to let you in, so look at my paintings and buy them for whatever you like. Awaiting your reply and I send you my best wishes, Claude Monet.
In 1879, Monet's wife Camille became ill with tuberculosis. To try to improve her health, they moved to a small town outside Paris. However, she passed away in 1879 at the young age of 32. This was a profound blow and marked the end of an era, as Monet completed his transition from the formative phase of his career into artistic maturity as a leader of the Impressionist movement during the 1880s. Though he endured great hardship and poverty early on, his perseverance in studying and innovating with plein air painting techniques made him a central figure in the revolutionary new Impressionist style. Now let's have a look at the London influence on Monet's painting. It's difficult to believe that Prussia invaded France in 1870 and caused tremendous harm to France. In fact, many promising young artists, amongst others, died in this conflict. But Monet was not prepared to expose his family to war and took refuge with many others in England. During this period, he was exposed to the work of Turner and Constable, and this was hugely influential and catalyzed his move towards the core Impressionist techniques. From Turner's atmospheric, almost abstracted landscapes, Monet gained an appreciation for capturing the overall impression of shifting light, atmosphere, color, and avoiding precise details. Turner's swirling brushwork and blending of color washes on the canvas demonstrated how to evoke the transient effects of weather and luminosity on a scene. Constable's paintings, especially his cloud studies, showed Monet new ways of studying the subtle values of the open-air environment by working directly from nature. Both Turner and Constable emphasized the truth of the scene by expressive brushwork, vibrant color, and avoiding the academic idealization of the past. And this resonated with Monet's own efforts to capture the actual modern scenes of the time with his plein air painting. He observed the goings-on around the Seine River and also along the Normandy coastline, painting everyday sort of scenes, fishermen, people enjoying time off work on the banks of the Seine, and many other everyday type of scenes. A more immediate and naturalistic way of painting. After London, Monet shed the last vestiges of traditional landscape techniques that he learned from art school. He adopted a brighter palette of colors, using unmixed color strokes, sometimes laid side by side, to recreate a shifting outdoor light and atmospheric conditions as he perceived them in the moment. Relying on techniques like optical mixing, where one color next to the other would evoke the mixed color to the observer. This may not have been entirely successful, but it was a necessary step in the evolution of Impressionist painting. His looser brushwork, broken into loose dappled strokes, certainly did recreate a shimmering and dissolved formation of shapes on the canvas. All of this came together in the first Impressionist exhibition, where his painting Impression Sunrise epitomized this new style with its quick rendered scene of the harbor at Le Havre, using delicate dabs of color and soft edges to recreate the diffuse morning light on the water. Clearly, Turner's influence played a part in this as well. This and other works from the early 1870s after London launched Monet's full immersion into the core techniques that would define Impressionist painting, a truthful depiction of optical effects over physical realism by the use of brushwork and unmixed colors to capture the light, atmosphere, and the passage of light through a scene. Now, Monet made a few more important relationships during his early career. One that was enormously important was the relationship he made with Paul Durand-Ruel. Durand-Ruel was an art dealer and one of the first champions and patrons of the Impressionist painters. In the early 1870s, when the Impressionists were struggling and were scorned by the establishment, Durand-Ruel began buying their works. Despite the critics mocking and the public rejecting these works, Durand-Ruel saw a new promise and believed in these young Impressionists. In particular, he developed a close relationship with Monet, becoming one of his most ardent supporters. Durand-Ruel provided Monet with financial support through times of abject poverty by effectively giving him a stipend and guaranteed income by purchasing his paintings on a regular basis. And we can see this in several letters between Monet and Durand-Ruel.
The 26th of March, 1881, to Paul Durand-Ruel. I received your letter. Thank you for your generosity. I have to settle various expenses here and there before the end of the month. Therefore, it would be extremely kind of you if you could send me the sum in question before Wednesday. I'm working hard. I'm putting a lot of effort into it, and I hope to bring you back some good things. I thank you in advance and send my best regards, Claude Monet.
This backing allowed the perseverance by the impoverished Monet to gradually gain traction and success. Monet was able to continue painting and experimenting with his innovative Impressionist techniques without fear of destitution. Durand-Ruel's faith in Monet and the other Impressionists was an essential lifeline for the movement's survival in those early years. Beyond the financial assistance, Durand-Ruel also worked tirelessly as an ambassador, promoting and exhibiting the Impressionist works. He organized group shows of their paintings in Paris, as well as cities like London, Brussels, and later in New York, to increase visibility and cultivate appreciation for the new style. Durand-Ruel amassed an enormous collection of Impressionist works, possessing over 1,000 Monets alone at various points. He evangelized about their talents and profoundly believed the Impressionists would eventually gain recognition as great innovators. His unwavering support and promotion was vindicated when tastes began to shift in the 1880s and 1890s. The new audiences he had introduced to Impressionism started appreciating and avidly collecting the works, allowing him to sell his Monet trove for tremendous profit. Monet was forever grateful, later reflecting that only Durand Ruel's backing allowed him to rise above the quagmire of poverty. Their decades-long relationship of dealer and painter was extraordinarily symbiotic, Durand Ruel's material and moral support giving Monet the means to flourish creatively, while Monet's genius provided the works that eventually brought Durand Ruel acclaim as the entrepreneur who almost single-handedly turned public opinion towards Impressionism. This entire experience is one that rings true to us even today. The support of a few patrons and people who believe in your work can make all the difference. And of course, your perseverance as an artist through hard times is so critical. Nothing good comes easy, and good things are worth working hard to achieve. It's the same old story throughout history, isn't it? No different with painting or any other creative pursuit if you want to take it to a higher level. So, today Monet's paintings sell for tens or even hundreds of millions, but we know that Monet grew to become a wealthy man and content, and sets a fine example of what can happen when you stick to your vision and you pursue that day by day and don't give up. Well, in future episodes, I'm going to carry on and have a look at some of Monet's correspondence during the 1880s and 1890s as his pursuit of atmospheric paintings developed and evolved. So I hope you enjoyed this little glimpse, though, into his beginnings and some of the struggles he went through. It wasn't all just wine and roses from the very beginning. And take some inspiration from it for your own journey. If you enjoyed the episode, please be sure to share it. If you can leave a review, that would also be great. And don't forget to subscribe, and also subscribe to the YouTube channel for more painting videos coming up soon. But with that, enjoy your painting, and until next time, cheers for now.